Hey everyone, thanks so much for joining me on the Slice of Healthcare podcast. I'm your host, Jared Taylor. Today, I'm speaking with Satch Jain, the founder and CEO at Carrum Health. How are you today?
Good. Thanks for having me, Jared.
Absolutely. I'm excited for us to chat. I think we should dive right into it. I'd love if you could tell the audience a little bit about your background, and then we'll talk more about your company.
Sure. So I'm Satch Jain, founder and CEO of Carrum Health. I'm a computer scientist and engineer by training, but I've spent now over a decade in the guts of healthcare payments. Started my career working for a hospital revenue cycle management company, one of the darkest corners of healthcare, where these are the companies that hospitals hire to chase patients, chase health plans, and all the crazy stories you hear in the media about patients receiving bills that they thought they should not own. They are done systematically, through a hospital revenue cycle management company. And I realized that, given my engineering background and learning about healthcare outside in, that the way we pay for healthcare is completely wrong. It is like buying a car part by part. Everyone is busy billing for all different parts of the car. No one is worried about whether the car actually works or the driver has a good experience. So my journey since then has been about trying to find a solution where you can rationalize healthcare purchasing. Spent some time in healthcare reform after this company, and that's where this idea came that I felt could be transformative. So we launched Carrum Health in 2014. We are 7 years young. And our first focus is on surgeries. So why surgeries? The reason being, one, this is perhaps the biggest and most neglected part of healthcare that is not getting enough attention. Employers spend almost half of their total medical spend on surgical procedures. And these are procedures like hip replacement, knee replacement, bypass surgery, bariatric surgeries, et cetera. We all know there's a lot of solutions, great solutions that are upcoming in the primary care and chronic care space, but nothing is really happening in surgical care, which is perhaps the biggest wild west. The cost of the surgeries are all over the place. RAND recently did a study where they found employers pay almost 2.5x compared to Medicare for surgical procedures. And for the same procedure, the cost is just 2.5x higher. Patient experience, we all know, is terrible, and the quality is all over the place. So that's where we are focused on. And what we have done is we have built a tech platform ground up for surgical episodes. And on this platform, we partner with some of the best providers across the nation who excel in these kind of surgical procedures. And they do these procedures only when they are necessary. We partner with them, we bring them on our platform, and then we connect them directly with self-insured employers using standardized bundle payment arrangements. In the process, we take out all the middleware that exists between employers and providers so that the efficiency of payments is very high. And because we have selected these providers based upon their credentials of avoiding unnecessary surgeries, and when they do surgeries, surgeries are a huge success, the quality and the outcomes are through the roof. And this approach has really resonated in the market. We are currently partnering with some of the top hospitals across US, like Cleveland Clinic, Mayo Clinic, Johns Hopkins, Stanford, Rush Medical Centers, just to name a few, who are typically the market leaders in the market we are in. And then on the employer side, we are working with several public and private sector employers. We are working with state governments. We are working with several Fortune 500 companies, including five of the Fortune 100 companies. And so the model is, you know, delivering the value that we had, you know, targeted to do at the beginning of starting the company.
Thank you for that. Yeah, it's very interesting what you're working on. And you're also able to, I'm sure one of the parts you like most is how you're able to work with all these different parties, but you're, while still focusing on, you know, your core focus. So that's excellent. I'd be curious if you could take us through, and if you can't, totally understand, but can you talk us through for one of these use cases for the people that you're working with, kind of how that flow of working using the Careon platform works for them?
Yep. So if an employer is using Careon, one of their employees is based out of San Francisco Bay Area, and they require a hip replacement surgery. Given just the way we pay for healthcare in our current healthcare system, any provider typically you will go to in your network, they will be all keen to do the surgery on you because that's how they make money. And as a member, it's just very difficult for you to figure out which providers are good, who do surgeries when they are necessary. And when they do surgeries, the outcomes are really great. Plus another challenge members face is that if they want to know how much this surgery will cost, no one is going to tell you how much it's going to cost. You will go through the surgery and after that, the bills will start streaming in. And something typically will go wrong somewhere where let's say an anesthesiologist is out of network and sending you a $10,000 bill. So this is sort of the experience that members are accustomed to in the current PPO style insurance that they have. Now, if this member has access to Careon solution, they will go on our platform and in the among the list of the procedures they will pick that I require a hip replacement surgery, and we will show them the options that are available to them in the neighborhood. So in, they are in the Bay Area, they will see Stanford as one of the options, and some of the top surgeons in Stanford will be available on our platform that a member can choose. Now, once that is done, we assign a TA concierge person to the member who is their advocate through the entire episode of care. We give them a tool, a patient app for iPhone, for Android that they can use to guide through the entire episode of care. And everything through our app has been virtualized. So obviously not the surgery itself, but everything from appointment scheduling, form filling, medical record collection, consultation to ensure surgery is necessary. Everything is virtualized. So only thing a member needs to do is to show up at the hospital if the surgery is necessary, show the Careon card, which is also embedded within the app, and get the surgery done. And the best part is a member never sees a medical bill in the entire episode of care. They pay nothing, let alone any surprise bill. So in this model, you take out all the uncertainty around the quality of the provider. You take out all the uncertainty around the process. We are ensuring that the members spend least amount of time in the doctor's office or in the hospital, which is what everyone wants today. And you take out every financial uncertainty in the process. So the only thing a member needs to do is to focus on getting healthier. And members love it. So, we all believe in net promoter scores. Our net promoter score is 96. It's 120 points higher than where the current, NPS score is for the healthcare industry in general.
That's absolutely incredible. But based on what you've told me, I'm not surprised, right? Especially based on the area that you're in within healthcare. One of the biggest frustrations you'll hear from people is they get these surprise bills, right? Or they wonder, was this surgery proposed to them even necessary, as you mentioned, right? And sometimes it's sad, but actually not sometimes, I would say a lot of the times it maybe isn't. right? It's the current problem with how healthcare is set up. It's why value-based care is continuing to just gain so much momentum. The old way of doing things is not how, you know, patients and even a lot of providers I'm seeing are really getting on the value-based care train now more than ever.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's, if someone gets a surgery that is not necessary, it's a complete failure of the system and everyone loses. You know, the member who never needed surgery now had this almost a life altering event. Employers lose because they are paying for surgeries that are not necessary. So that's a terrible outcome. And in our model, as I mentioned, it's a big win for the member for the reasons I just mentioned earlier, but it's a big win for the employers because they do not pay for the surgeries that are necessary. And when the surgeries do happen, in our model, unit cost comes down dramatically. So RAND Corporation, big think tank, so they did an independent peer-reviewed study on CADM. And what they found was that when employers implemented CADM, they avoided 30% of the unnecessary surgeries, 30%. And when the surgeries did happen, unit cost was 45% lower compared to what this employer was paying through the regular health plan. And the readmission rates were 80% lower. So you combine all those factors and you start realizing that that value-based care and bundled payments can do some real magic.
I've had some great conversations with Dr. Christopher Chen from Chen Med, and they're obviously huge in value-based care, and then the team over at Curation Health as well with the tools that they're developing. And as I continue to learn more about value-based care, it's beginning to seem like a no-brainer why we need to fully transition to this. But one of the things the chief medical officer at Curation Health would talk about, and also the CEO of our Chennai would talk about, is how a big problem that we're still facing is these medical students and these residents and these fellows, value-based care is still not something that is really even touched upon in great detail through their schooling journey, which that'll be something if we want to fully continue to adopt value-based care, we need obviously our providers to be fully accepting of it and also understand the ins and outs of it. So we'll see how that happens. When you talk with these providers, do you get a sense that they're excited for a more value-based care version of healthcare?
Absolutely. I mean, when we started CADM 5-6 years ago, we had to do a lot of evangelism to make sure providers understand what the model is. But I think the big breakthrough was that how we were able to align their incentives, align provider incentives towards lowering costs and avoiding unnecessary surgeries. The earlier attempts at getting providers bought into value-based care was that, hey, let's just squeeze providers, get better rates, and all the upside will be kept by purchasers essentially. The way we crafted the model was that aligning provider incentives with lower costs and better quality through bundled payments has ensured that providers see the value in it. And if they are doing well, they are able to gain market share. That just benefits everyone. So starting from, 1Z, 2Z providers at the earlier stage of CADM, we have coverage from coast to coast. And as I mentioned, we are working with some of the best providers in the nation because they see the huge upside in the model.
There was one thing I wanted to ask you before we wrap up here in just a minute. So obviously over the last year with the pandemic, a lot of these planned surgeries were delayed. Now, can you talk a little bit about how the different key stakeholders, whether it's the employers, providers, and health plans, how can they prepare for increased utilization? But also while you know, being able to manage those costs and still deliver quality outcomes. I'd be curious, because this is obviously a core focus for you, your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, there is a huge backlog of surgeries that we are facing today, given what has happened over the last 15 months or so. We saw a recent study which says that even just for joints and spines, there's a backlog of 1 million procedures, which is, you know, if you convert into dollars, it's almost $75 to $90 billion spend for employers alone. And in our discussions with employers, I mean, that is, I will say, the top of the mind issue, that as these procedures come back, employers want to do a few things. One, they want to make sure they have the right infrastructure, right solutions in place, so that when the market really opens up, they can direct their members, their employees, to the right providers in an expedited fashion. Second is, given the amount of the spend, they want to make sure these surgeries happen only when they are necessary. And when they do happen, the unit cost goes down and the outcomes are great. Another area of huge concern is that no one wants to spend an extra minute in the doctor's office or in the hospital than necessary, which traditionally has been the case in the regular PPO style networks. So just as a result, the interest in finding solutions like ours has been extremely high. I believe Business Group on Health and Willis Towers Watson did some surveys where they found that almost 8 out of 10 employers are planning to implement a Centers of Excellence program, which just, again, continues to highlight how big of a top of mind the issue is for employers. And we are seeing that huge surge in the demand in our book of business, just given these trends that are upcoming.
Thank you for that. I was curious about your thoughts on that, especially because this is your space, right? So I want to thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I'm hoping we can have you on again soon and cover some different topics and get an update on where things are at with the company, but really appreciate your time today. And thanks so much.
Garrett, thanks for having me. Enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you to everyone that listened to this week's episode of the Slice of Healthcare podcast. If you'd like to check out more of our podcasts, we're available on all the major podcast channels. And you can check us out on our website, www.sliceofhealthcare.com. And that'll have all of our past guests on there. You can see our sponsors, and you can learn more about actually becoming a guest. Thanks, and look forward to another episode next week.